We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And I don't know why it was necessary. Now watch. I can't circle. I don't have my Telestrator today, but here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So get beer all over. And here goes.
Have some pizza.
I wonder why did he do that? Because he thought he was interfering with a play? Or, I mean, it seemed totally unnecessary.
Just now getting the pizza off it.
You were just watching. Can you tell everybody exactly what we were just listening to?
That was how many years ago today? All I know is I saw it was this day in sports.
Okay.
2007. The Fenway pizza incident. Here comes the pizza.
You got to go watch it on YouTube, folks.
Just, it's so good. I retweeted it at Sneaky Joe Sports.
We are not encouraging throwing anything while at the ballpark.
But it is just, it's so random. Like, if you don't know the video, a fan at a Red Sox game gets his hand in the way of a foul ball, or is trying to catch it, drops it, and some dude in a Patriots jacket from 10 rows back, for no reason, tosses a whole slice of pizza at this gentleman. And it hits him right on the shoulder.
If anything, too, this guy is helping the Red Sox because the Angels are trying to make a catch to get Red Sox player out.
The throwing motion even is funny. Just, I don't know. Watching it in slow motion is amazing. How he arrives at the decision, this pizza I've just bought,
yes.
I'm throwing the whole thing at this guy.
The original pizza gate.
And then there's just sauce all over his shoulder.
It's so good.
Oh, my gosh. Today is the Boston Marathon, by the way.
Yeah.
Zdeno
Chara running in it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a big marathon guy.
Oh, I didn't realize that. All right. He's actually one of my all-time least liked people in sports.
Chara?
Yeah, Bulldog and I was out with Bulldog last year at some point or maybe 2 years ago. And he's like, is there just guys you just really hate, like sports figures? And I'm like, yeah, Zdeno Chara. I've always hated Zdeno Chara. But you just telling me that makes me not hate him as much, to be quite honest.
That he's in the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, all right, that's cool.
Well, he's going to win because he's just going to run behind people. They're going to be like, oh my God, here comes Chara. And they just run out of the way. No, he was a big, mean goon. Big, mean bully, giant.
He was good, though.
He wasn't a goon. He was great.
He was really
great.
Good, yeah.
But no one likes a big, giant bully.
No.
He was the biggest giant bully in league history.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
He always won, so didn't help.
So that was what year was that pizza thrower?
2007.
Okay.
2007.
Do you know what yesterday was?
Okay. Sunday? What other than that?
It's a bad way for me to phrase that. Yesterday was the anniversary of the opening game of the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs. Game one.
Game one against Philadelphia.
Yep.
They win that game.
1-0.
1-0.
Who scores?
Coletta.
Yes, in the third period.
Yep. I remember the goal. He went flying. Maybe it was he scored and got tripped on the way through and was celebrating on his way to the ice.
I have no recollection of this.
I've seen it before. Yeah, they won 1-0. But I think Bobrovsky was in net that night.
Ooh, let me see.
I'm pretty sure he started that series.
Okay, hold on.
And he hadn't been benched yet because they only scored one. He got benched in the
second game. It was Bobrovsky.
Okay.
That goal, Coletta, from Marc-Andre Gragnani and Paul Gostad.
All right. Trivia. Grignani, for you out there, Grignani led the Sabres in scoring in their last playoff series.
What?
The last Saber to lead the team in a playoff series in playoff scoring was Marc-Andre Grignani.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
I think he had an assist on that goal. They go up 1-0 in Philly.
Yep.
The next 2 days later, that would have been the 16th. Back in Philly, game two. What happens?
Is game two against the Flyers when the first period is the Flyers can't stop a beach ball, so they start flip flopping the goalies all around, and then they still win though.
I'm gonna guess they flip flop goalies because it makes sense based on what yes, Bobrovsky and Brian Boucher both played in this game.
Okay.
Yes. And yes, the first period had 6 goals scored.
Wow.
Philly, Buffalo, Philly, Buffalo, Buffalo, Philly.
3-3 at the end of one?
3-3 at the end of one.
It's pretty good.
And then,
if I remember though, right, the goals that the Sabres scored, like, you should not have gone in. Like, they were just the worst goals ever allowed. Like, they were in that game because Bobrovsky was so bad.
This is kind of a who's who of this time period. Ready? Giroux starts the scoring, followed by Vanek.
Yep.
Followed by Daniel Carcillo. Okay. Followed by Vanek. Then Andre Sequeira for the Sabres.
Nice.
And then James Van Riemsdyk.
Yep.
Okay? Then you go to the second period. It's 2 goals from Philly, Ville Leino and Danny Briere.
Wow.
Leino comes to the Sabres the next year, right?
You know why Leino comes to the Sabres next year after scoring the Game 6 winner.
Cody McCormick does score in the third period for the Sabres, but they ultimately don't tie it up. Joe, the first period.
You know why there was so much scoring in the first period? They called 11 penalties.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
And
they had 6 goals and 11 penalties.
They called 11 penalties, although 2 of them were fighting majors. Gostad and Hartnell apparently fought in that game. But, what, 9 minor penalties were called? That's how you get some scoring.
Then they come back to Buffalo for game 3. This is the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, folks. This is the week.
Yeah.
This week is the anniversary of the last time the Sabres were in the playoffs, way back in 2011.
I don't know how the series is going to revisiting the series is going to make me feel.
Will not make you feel better. I'm wondering how you remember it, though.
Okay. I remember game 2 for sure about the goalies being pulled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about game 3.
Game 3, Sabres lose 4-2 in Buffalo.
Three. Yeah, I don't remember.
Jeff Carter opens the scoring. Drew Stafford ties it up. Then you go to the second period. It's Briere and Zhirdev for Philly.
Okay, yeah.
Then Gerby scores for the Sabres.
Okay. Game.
Empty netter from Timonen.
Okay. Game 4, same thing. I don't remember
game
much either.
Game 4, no. Okay, really?
Game four is 1-0.
1-0 Buffalo.
Again? They won 2-1-0
games. And this time it's Pominville early and then nothing after that.
Okay. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just guessing at this, but I think I remember it right. Do you remember when Miller robbed Briere?
I mean, I remember the RJ call, yes.
I think that's game 4.
That's the RJ call.
That's
we hear
RJ
a lot
call.
Of the highlights of that, right?
Yeah, I think that's game 4. That is the RJ call you're talking about. Yep.
Okay.
And then, of course, game 5, game 6, and game 7 are all memorable. Game 5 is the last playoff win.
Mm-hmm.
Ennis in overtime. You want to be a hero. Not a sneaky, underrated call by RJ. You want to be a hero? As Ennis wins it in overtime, a rebound from a Mike Weber shot. I can't believe that team was almost won that playoff series. They had no business doing it.
I mean, but it also underscores they just blew it.
Oh, they had the lead in game 6.
On
Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, that's right.
And then game 7 was a disaster.
Once they blew game 6, you knew they were going to lose game 7, right?
Yeah, game 7 was just never, ever competitive. Brad Boy scoring the final playoff goal. In game
so
seven.
Ennis, so Ennis wins in overtime in game 5, right?
Yep.
Do you know what happened before that to get to overtime? How the scoring went? What happened?
No.
Sabres blew a 3-0 lead at the end of 1.
Okay.
Philly comes back with 3.
Okay.
Van Riemsdyk, but the
does
Sabres
Briere have one?
No.
Okay.
Ennis, Vanek, yes, he does. He has the third period. He has the third period goal to tie it up.
I think slightly remember Briere tying it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Ennis scores not too long in overtime. And you're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
They're up. And then they come home and lose that overtime game to Philly that winds up crushing them on Easter Sunday.
Yep. And the series.
That's Ville Leino.
He won in overtime.
Yes.
And then they paid him a ton of money.
Sabres blew a lead there, too. 3-1 after one.
I mean, looking back, the Flyers were a better hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
They were a better hockey team. They had horrible goaltending in that series, and the Sabres were you know, they were living off their goalie being their best player. The roster was not that good. So, and then the next year, like, that team, that was the peak of that team. That team is why the tank happened. Because everyone kind of realized, okay, that's the ceiling here, right? They're not doing much more than this. They don't have the capability to go on a long, deep playoff run.
Right.
So, okay, let's go get the number one pick. That's kind of how this all started, I think, is that team. You can work it all the way back. You can do the domino effect, the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand actually caused all of this.
The butterfly effect.
Yes. You could go all as far back as you want. They're still recovering from Drury Briere.
Oh, 100%.
They're still, it's amazing. 17 years later, we are still here waiting for them to recover from losing Briere and Drury.
Walter, what's going on, buddy? Good to join you. Good. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm Joe's favorite guy, because I want to ask him if he thinks yesterday's result, Canada-U.S. gold medal game, is a sort of an omen for when the men's play.
I don't know. Well, if the omen is the game is going to be awesome and super close right up until the end, then I might agree with you.
Quick football question, if you don't mind, guys.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, we obviously expect the Bills to move up. That's the consensus. We need a wide receiver. Do you think they've lost a bit of leverage by moving Diggs first? I mean, I know that situation, it played out the way it did. And
no.
Obviously not a good situation. But now that the league knows we need a wide receiver, do you think the price to move up is going to be a little higher?
No, I don't think so. I think that teams generally don't operate like that, which is like they'll do what's best for them. The price is the price. I don't think that's going to matter. I mean, in fact, the Bills have quite a bit of draft capital. I don't think that should, you know, impact. If they want to move up, they want to move up. I don't think a team is looking at them going, well, you don't have Stephon Diggs anymore, so you're going to pay more. I don't think that. Now, if you're talking about a quarterback and a team that's really desperate, the price can go up a little bit because you know you're dealing with a team that's trying to move up. I don't think in this situation it would. I think the price is the price, Walter, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's good to hear, because I really think there's a gaping hole there now, and you know, given Allen's ability, you know,
let's remember the Bills decided on their own. They chose to trade Stephon Diggs and eat the money. If anything, Brandon Bean goes, dude, we wanted to do this. That we're not desperate. You know what I mean? If that was the case.
So. Yeah, but I think money, dead cap space-wise, they probably would have benefited keeping them another year, no?
Well, it depends. They were, no matter when they decided, there was going to be a year where you ate a big Diggs cap. And they just, the way the contract's structured, almost no matter what, eventually it was going to happen. So they just had to figure out when they wanted to do it. So I guess, you know, I don't think this was the sole reason they did it, but part of the, I think, logic would be if we do it now and eat it now, we get a second-round pick. If we wait a year, we probably have to eat it and then get nothing for it, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And, you know, before I let you go, I do miss the Sabres not being in the playoffs. I remember the glory days in the 70s. I cried my eyes out when they lost to the Flyers in that cup, believe it or not. Yeah. I've always had a soft spot for the Sabres, and I don't know. There was so much promise this year. I hope they shake it up enough that they get in next year. It'll be so exciting. Imagine Toronto, Buffalo in the first round of the playoffs.
It would be pretty crazy. I think not too long ago, actually, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole and I was rewatching that Eastern Conference final between the two teams. Remember that?
Eastern Conference final between
Sabres and Leafs. What year was that? That was the 90s, late 90s.
Oh, right? Help me out.
99.
Yeah. Really?
99? Yeah. With the year the Sabres went to the Cup. Yeah, 99, of course. Yeah, because
Eastern Conference Finals.
Eastern Conference Finals, yeah. You remember that series?
I'm drawing a blank. I got to look this one up.
What?
99?
Yes.
Eastern Conference? The Leafs were that far in? Maybe under Pat Quinn. Wow, that would hurt, guys. Losing a
You're kidding. I know. Now you're just toying with me. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. I got you. I got you.
No, I'm not. No, I have.
All right. Respect.
But, gentlemen, I looked that one up, but I would have remembered Leafs losing to Buffalo. The Eastern Conference Finals. Wow.
Go look up anyone listening on YouTube. You want just a great, if you like Bob Cole out there, Bob Cole, the legendary play-by-play man from CBC. Go look up on YouTube Sabres Leafs Game 4 from 1999. It's like a 3-minute video where the Sabres score like 3 goals in the course of like a minute, including Sabres. A Rob Ray goal, and it's a great clip.
Sabres destroyed the Leafs in that series, by the way. You go back to 99, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 1, the Sabres win 5-4. They lose 6-3 in Game 2, and then they just go 4-2, 5-2, 4-2, and boat race them.
Wow. Well, you know what? Next time I call, you got something on me, because I must have blocked that out mentally.
I think you did. Go look at it, buddy, okay? You got it.
Okay, all the
Thanks,
best,
Walter. Okay, bye. Thank you very much for that. All right. It is the week of the Sabres' last playoff appearance, but it looks like there's not going to be any more Arizona Coyotes playoff appearances in Arizona, or games maybe there at all in Arizona. This story keeps changing. The letter that was published from the owner to the mayor, did you see that?
Yeah.
And the owner looks like he's trying. Like he, according to the PR spin, maybe, I don't know. But it looks like the owner's like, dude, I'm trying here. I'm going to build this arena. I'm going to build this complex. You're not working with me. And there was this land auction, and he wanted to, as you brought it up last week.
It's coming in June, yeah.
It's coming in June, and he has an intention to buy it. But apparently it's full steam ahead to go to Utah.
Yes, they're going to Utah.
Yes.
It is, in the letter maybe is a part of this. It is very clear, and it has been now for a couple of years, no one in Arizona wants them. Other than the fans. I'm sure there are Coyotes fans. I know there are. It might not be as, you know, large a fan base, of course, as others.
Right.
But when I say Arizona, I mean like the governments, the public, you know, these town councils that Glendale, we were covering in the hockey media. None of the people in charge, none of the people that have power in Arizona want the Coyotes there. Glendale kicked them out. They kicked them out. There is an arena that we know is NHL, has NHL capabilities, because the Coyotes played there for over a decade. It's right down the road in Glendale. They didn't want them there anymore. They said, in part because the Coyotes didn't pay their bills, and there's a lot of stories about that apparently coming out now, how like they don't even pay their hotel bills, so hotels around the league, and like there's just a bunch of stuff. But Glendale said, get out. You're not in this arena anymore. Get out. So they went to the college rink, and now it's, oh, look, this land over here. Well, we'll do this, and we'll build a bunch of land. And the mayor's like, no, we don't want that. Like, the mayor doesn't want it in Scottsdale. The town council in Glendale doesn't want it. Who in Arizona is trying to get them to stay? There's no effort being made. In fact, it's the other way. It's get lost.
Is it because of the team, or is it because they don't care about the NHL and think it's not profitable for them, or worth it for them?
It's probably both. They realize after 20 years, this is not making any money. It's not making any money. They're delinquent on certain checks, and just it business-wise, it doesn't work in Arizona. So they're saying that's not working, plus you're not the best tenant, maybe, is a part of it. So the ownership could be a part of it, too. Like, you've had your shot. You've had 20 years to make this work, and it's not working. So for now, you know, go to Utah. And part of this deal is, like, Bettman is not giving up. Bettman is really not giving up. Like, he is this exclusive window that Marullo, the Coyotes owner, has to bring back an expansion team to Arizona within 5 years if he gets an arena deal. Like, Bettman is trying, but why am I supposed to think in the next 5 years something's going to change? You know, like, part of this deal is, oh, don't worry, Coyotes fans. Like, we're going to be back. Don't worry. It's good. Within 5 years. It's the Browns in the 90s, right? Like, oh, we're going to Baltimore, but don't worry. The league's going to get your team back. Like, that's kind of what's being promised right now to Arizona. And I'm not so confident that's going to happen. Why, after 15 years of ownership and arena drama, is it just going to get settled in the next five? Maybe, but I'm not betting on that.
I mean, they are going to expand at some point. We're pretty confident in that, right?
Yeah,
there's been a lot of Houston's been talked about a lot.
Yep.
Atlanta's been talked about.
Yep.
Right? Whether it's a team
Quebec
moving.
Quebec has wanted
Quebec
one forever.
City, and I
don't think they're ever going
to
get it.
I don't know if they ever will. I would love to see a team back in Quebec.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Nordique?
No, that would have been one.
Little, yeah.
96 is the Avalanche.
Man.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I mean, I would love them to come back too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's realistic. What does Bettman want? Bettman is about the bottom line. He's a business dude.
Yep.
And he looks at, why does he want Arizona? Why has he tried so hard, desperately, to get Arizona to work in the last 20 years? Because it's the seventh biggest market in the United States. Why does he continue to go to fly to Houston to meet with billionaires to see if there might be some interest that could be drawn up there? Because Houston's the second biggest market in the United States. The more people, the more money, the more revenue, the more money for the league. Like, that's all Bettman cares about. That's why he's working for it. And if you, like, Quebec would be cool and would get support, but financially,
it's not making the league money.
You got to convince Bettman that it's going to make the league money. And there's, I don't see.
I mean,
that
we happening. Had, I think you have a great, to me, a great hockey market in Winnipeg that's not even.
There's trouble there.
There's, right.
And they're good.
Yeah.
If anything, right. Winnipeg, like.
I mean, it was so great to, when they got their team back.
Right. It feels like, you know, if you get to know Bettman over the years and you read enough about him and you see how he talks and his actions, we all know what motivates him. It has always felt like and sounded like he didn't really want to go back to Winnipeg. He wanted Atlanta to work. He wanted Atlanta to work. He went back to Winnipeg because he didn't really have another option. And doesn't he look at Winnipeg and doesn't he say to people close to him, see, this is why I didn't want to go back there. Yes, their fan base is crazy and everyone loves the Jets. But here they are, a team headed for the playoffs, really good, and they're third from the bottom in attendance. Like, he had to fly to Winnipeg a month ago to figure out, like, he's meeting with corporate sponsors. Like, what's happening here? This team is good. Why can't the building be full? Why can't all the boxes be full? Like, Bettman, if anything, is probably treating Winnipeg right now as, like, this is the proof in the pudding for why I'm never going back to Quebec. Which is sad, but I think that's probably what's happening.
Utah. When we come back, let's just talk about the back end of this, what it looks like on the other end with Utah having a team. And, Joe, how about greatness being boring? Does that matter to you? We'll talk about that when we come back here next on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Patrick Mahomes just won his third Super Bowl championship, and everyone believes that he is on the precipice of going and challenging Brady for those seven rings based off the way that they're set up. Mm-hmm. But now, the man, the myth, the legend of Tom Brady comes back because he doesn't want to allow Patrick Mahomes to get anywhere near his record and tries to extend it to eight. The one who is undefeated against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs decides to come back and give it one more go. The guy can still play. And I would never doubt Tom Brady. If he says he can come back, I believe him.
I mean, please, can we not have this conversation going forward?
They're going to need something to replace Jordan LeBron. Right? Until Wembanyama
I don't care about the debate between the two. As long as Mahomes does his end of the bargain, keeps winning, you have to have it. Him coming back... like this thing, what are we doing?
We had a debate earlier. Yeah. I want to see where you land on this. I put a poll up on it too. What would be a more preferable outcome for you? He stays retired or he goes back to New England?
Ooh. Stays retired.
If he goes to New England, you get the chance to just hammer him a couple of times.
I know.
But of course you're risking I don't think it would happen. That team's pretty bad. The feeling of what happens if it actually worked, but come on, he's 47. Where do people land on this poll? I think most people want him to just stay retired. Just stay out of my life. He mentioned New England and the Raiders. Listen, the only thing I'll say about this, after he said on that podcast last week that in the right... what do you say? The right situation? Right circumstance?
Something like that, yeah.
The circumstance right now in Las Vegas are the exact same he was about to sign up for in Miami. If Bill Belichick doesn't accidentally send the wrong text to Brian Flores... Brady goes to Miami and is the Dolphins quarterback with an agreement that he will become a minority owner after he's done. He's in bed with the Raiders right now. And he's already got a future. I mean, I think they're voting on it, or maybe that's, I don't think it's fully approved yet, but he's already going through that process, but it's not done. And who's the Raiders quarterback sitting here today? Is it Aiden O'Connell? All I'm saying is he said under the right circumstances, he was about to go to Miami in the exact same circumstances that he would currently have for himself in Las Vegas.
I mean,
it would be horrible. I don't hope it happens. Although, be less coverage about Aaron Rodgers. So,
speaking of Aaron Rodgers, someone tweeted us for our Brian Baldinger podcast and asked, do you think if Saleh or McDaniel could be in trouble this year? My answer is absolutely. I think they both have to make the playoffs. Saleh for sure. If the Jets don't make the playoffs, they're blowing it up. I mean, like, it's Aaron Rodgers. If you didn't make the playoffs now, like, if the Jets don't make it, it is completely everybody's new. I think, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't care, even if he got hurt again and they didn't make it.
I think Saleh has got a very good chance of being fired during the season. If the season gets off to a rocky start, not even that bad. Like, first month of the year, what's the worst record where you think they could do it? If they were 2-3 in their first five games, could they fire Saleh?
Yes.
I think they could. I don't even think the bar is that low for them to, especially when you've got Rodgers' boy right there as the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. And you know Rodgers would love Nathaniel Hackett to be the head coach because he takes him with him everywhere now. So, I think Saleh especially, he's the one. He's got, if I'm him, that's, I don't love the deal I've made with the devil, because look how it's gone for him. And I'm assuming that this is right, that they would fire him, but let's assume that is right for sake of conversation. Look how this has gone for him. Hey, Robert, we're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers. This is the only last thing you need. Your defense is great. We've got Garrett Wilson. All we need is a quarterback. Here, we're going to go trade for Aaron Rodgers. Awesome. How's it gone? He got hurt, wash of a season in year one, total meltdown. They wouldn't let you go get a different quarterback, or they just didn't want to go get a different quarterback, so the season was basically a waste. And now year two, Rodgers is back, and oh hey, don't start 2-3 in the first month of the year, you could lose your job.
And
that's
everyone,
a horrible spot for a coach.
All of the sourcing and reporting after the season was they did nothing to prepare it at all for any sort of tough scenario.
Right.
Like, it was like, ah, we don't have Aaron Rodgers, throw our hands up, what do we do?
This year, they went out and got Tyrod, so at least they have something
right
that they could throw in there now. But it's just, it's all drama, and it's non-football nonsense all the time. And I can't imagine Saleh likes that. Like, if you're a team that doesn't like distractions, good or bad, like, doesn't even matter what they are. Just, it doesn't, they exist. They exist on that team constantly. And yeah, I think if I were to bet, I would bet on him to be the first coach fired this year.
I mean, could I see a scenario where Mike McDaniel gets fired during the year? Sure. I mean, that can happen if they're really bad, but that one would have to be really bad, right? I think it'd
have
to go to the end of the season and they say, look, we got to do something different. We tried this with the offense. We just had to pay our receiver. Now we got to decide on Tyreek and Jalen Waddle and all these guys. And so that to me feels like more of an end of the season type of thing. Okay, real quick before we get out of here and take our final break. Utah hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You feeling it?
Yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm into
it. It fits there.
Yeah.
It fits more than Arizona because it's Utah and snow. They had the Winter Olympics there.
Yep. That's one of the team names on the odds list, by the way. Olympians. The Utah Olympians.
What is the? What are the others? There was something with bees you guys talked about a while
back.
Bees.
Our boss, actually, Alan, texted us Utah bees because they're the bee state.
Uh-huh.
My favorite is the Salt Lake Stags with a deer as
a
logo.
That is the question. Would it be Salt Lake or Utah?
I hope it's Salt Lake. I think a lot of the team names I see are more Utah-based.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah Yeti is one that keeps getting thrown around.
Okay.
Just sounds like a roller hockey team to me. I don't know. And then the owner mentioned Golden Eagles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's something about it's the state bird or something. But Jeremy pointed out two problems with that I didn't even thought of this morning. One, Golden Eagles. You have the Golden Knights. You're not doing that, right? You're not going to have the Golden Knights and the Golden Eagles. Doesn't that seem stupid in the same league?
Probably right.
So they probably wouldn't do that. And then if you're the Utah Eagles, like, can you do that? the Philadelphia Eagles have a say in that? I don't know how that works with pro sports and like trademarks and rights and whatnot.
Well, can I throw a suggestion?
Yeah.
How about the Utah Coyotes? There are Coyotes in Utah.
I don't mind that if not for this agreement with the Coyotes owner that you can get your team back.
Okay.
And do they want to save Coyotes in case they go back to Arizona? Or maybe they want to wipe the slate clean there.
Maybe.
That might be a better option. I like this. You go Utah.
It's better
Coyotes.
Than Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
The New Orleans true. Jazz moved to Utah.
It's the stupidest
thing. I do ever. Not think of Jazz in Utah.
No, it's ridiculous.
And they kept the name.
Yeah.
It's better than that.
It is better than that. All right, I'm into that. I like this. You keep Coyotes with Utah. It's the Utah Coyotes.
Yeah.
You tell the Coyotes owner, if you even get an arena deal, which I don't believe you will, then you're starting fresh. Which, you know, in that market, they might be ready for a refresh button anyway. You get even something new.
Because they did do this in Winnipeg. The Jets became the Jets again when they went back.
They did, but the records didn't go with them. That's another stupid thing, by the way. I hate when they do that. If there's a team that comes back to the city, give them back the records. That the Browns did that, right, with the Ravens?
What happened with the Browns was, in case people don't know, the Browns' history includes all the old Cleveland Browns with 4 years missing. When they went to Baltimore, they treated the Ravens as an expansion team and did not take the Cleveland history with them.
Yep. Just imagine a tweet in like 6 months from now. There's going to be a tweet that you're going to see, and it's going to say, congratulations, Teemu Selanne, for becoming the all-time leading scorer for the Utah Yeti. Because the records go with him. That's going to happen. He's currently the all-time... Wait, is it Selanne or is it Howard Chuck? Someone from Winnipeg is. I don't like when they take the records with them. I think it's dumb.
Utah Stingers, someone said. Okay, that would go with the...
If you're doing that, though, that should be Salt Lake Stingers.
Salt Lake Stingers. Okay,
I just think Salt Lake sounds better. Now, they might not want to because of branding, right? And they might want the whole state to be like... The market is the whole state, right? Not just the city. So I guess I would understand if they do Utah, but I think every team name I hear that starts with Salt Lake just always sounds better.
We will. Now I do want to talk about real quick when we come back. Masters champion, Scottie Scheffler. One of the criticisms of him is he's too boring. Does that matter? Let's kick that around for a couple minutes when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Beaumont's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
A man of the people. I love that call. So that was, who was the player?
Boban. I don't even try his last name. If you know Boban, you know Boban. He's a 7'4" hulking giant. It's lovable.
One of the first things I saw was this clip this morning when I woke up. And I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at the time. So I thought to myself, oh, free chicken, because they're the road team, first of all, the road team. Okay?
Yep.
And it said... And I'm thinking, okay, is it because if they hold the team to a certain amount of points, everybody gets free chicken, like a chicken sandwich or something? But there's still 5 minutes left in the game. So what happened here? So tell me, how did everybody get free chicken?
So, yeah, if a player on the opposing team misses back-to-back free throws, then everybody in the arena gets free chicken sandwiches or free chicken, whatever. So Boban missed the first one. And the crowd started going, like, started getting up, like, all right, one more for free chicken. And Boban looks around the crowd, and he's like, points to himself, like, I got you. I got you. And then he misses the second one on purpose. As he's backing up, he raises a finger to the sky and gets a massive ovation.
I love it.
Super cool.
I love it.
I do wonder, I meant to look, what his coach said about it.
Right.
Okay, so the game didn't matter. Like, they have already been eliminated. It's the final game of the season. Doesn't matter for the Clippers either. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter for anybody. It's an 8-point game with 6 minutes left.
Like, oh, I'm sure he wasn't happy.
His coach is probably, I would appreciate a coach that would have a Stan Van Gundy, I feel like would be like, okay, like laughing along with it. I don't know what this Udoku, though, would think. Like, there's some coaches that might be like, what are you doing? This is still a basketball game.
Oh, not only that, Joe, I think there were gamblers mad.
that I, could
maybe
be
some happy, but you know,
case too.
Right? I mean, like that. A big deal now is the gambling, and that's yeah. one of the first things I thought of was, yeah. you know, you got to be careful with stuff like that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to golf here in a second. Yeah. I just want to one thought on this. I wanted to get across today in the NBA. Victor Wembanyama,
uh-huh.
he has been so good the last couple months of the year. Like he's figured out the NBA. He is now in the running for Defensive Player of the Year because of he blocks everybody. He is LeBron to Steph is like a 5-inch difference.
Yeah,
that's how much taller he is than Jokic. Like watching him block Jokic, and here's the stat where you know the whole league, the whole NBA, you better win your championship this year. Wembanyama, who is 7'5", has the highest step back 3-point percentage in the league.
Amazing.
Better than Steph.
Remember when it was he is the greatest prospect in any sport ever, like kind of discussion, and maybe that's coming to fruition. All right, Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. I tweeted yesterday, he's just a machine, and a few people said, but he's so boring. He's so boring. He is boring. I don't care. He's great. I don't care if he's boring. I love watching greatness.
He is great. I like watching him too, right? It's different than Tiger, right? Tiger was intense.
Yeah.
So you're not getting that.
You're not getting a Bryson DeChambeau. He's, just a,
he's a crazy
he's
person.
He's a character.
Yeah.
He's a cartoon character.
Yeah. I can't decide. I do know. I like watching him a lot. He's so good, and some of the shots he hits, and he's consistent. You know, yeah, you don't have the personality or the character there, but it's golf. It's not like that's normal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not common, I think. Like, is Morikawa... If he had won, yes. Is Morikawa that much? But maybe he is. I don't even know. I don't watch that golf documentary that Netflix has. But I agree with you in most part. Like, I just want to watch greatness. If he starts rattling off major after major, if he's chasing, you know what'll be interesting? If he's chasing, like, a slam, everyone will be into it.
The only thing that's boring to me about it, when people, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I understand the personality. That's what they mean. The only boring part to me is it's like he's the only one, he's dominating right now.
Right.
I know the other people, and John Rahm's out there, and there are some other guys, but it's just like, okay, Scottie Scheffler's in the tournament. He's probably going to win. That's what you think when he's in it.
He was even money to win yesterday, like when everyone was tied. It's crazy.
It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, so let me set up the week for everybody. Today, the Bills began off-season workouts. That's going to happen. They have 3 days this week, I believe. They can only go 3 out of 5. I think that's what the CBA says. Either way, we're going to have media at some point this week. We'll keep you updated on when that is to hear from players, coaches, GM, Brendan Bean down at One Bills Drive. Sabres wrap up the season tonight, 6 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock puck drops down in Tampa. And then, of course, they'll have locker clean out, and then we'll have media with them as well at some point after the season. Got a lot going on with the NFL draft coming up as well. So we have a lot more to get to this week. Sabres live up next. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.